When were you born? What year?
I was born in 1889, January the 26th.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
Woburn, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. When did you move here?
I came here when I was 12 years old.
What were your parents' names?
My father's name was Adelbert Maloney. Mm-hmm. And my mother's maiden name was Elizabeth Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Why did they come here, do you know?
Well, my father was a whitener by trade.
What's a whitener?
Well, it's running a big whitening machine. It puts the surface on leather for shoes. And at that time, we lived in Massachusetts. And he was taken sick and went to the hospital and eventually died. And my mother brought us up here, and I stayed with my grandmother.
Did your father move here with you, though?
He didn't, no. We moved up here, and my mother worked out, but he died here. Mm-hmm. So we made our home with my grandmother, us boys.
So your grandparents were living here?
Yes, years ago.
Where did your mother work?
Well, she worked in, before she came here, she worked in Pickering's Hosiery in Lowell, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And after she came here, she worked in the Adirondack Hotels and wherever there's a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Did they grow up around here too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What were their names?
Raymond and Earl.
Are they still living?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, when you moved here, where did you live?
I lived with my grandmother.
What town?
In Constable.
In Constable.
Yeah. About a mile north of Constable Village, just down here on the road.
Was it a large house?
A fairly decent-sized house. Not a large house, and not a small one. Medium-sized mm-hmm. house.
How many rooms?
Oh, let me see. Six, I think.
What, three bedrooms? And
yeah.
Was your grandfather living when you moved in with your grandmother?
My grandfather, no. He was still in Woburn. He lived in Woburn and he died in Woburn. He didn't live up here. He lived up here as a young man after the Civil War. And then he went east. Because he was a whitener by trade.
So your ancestors were here and moved back then, in a way.
Well, yes, my grandfather was born here.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and so was my grandmother. Mm-hmm. But,
where is your mother born?
In,
Massachusetts?
No, Prince Edward Island.
How was she coming? She was born there?
Her father was a sea captain. And I can't give you that correct, you know. They froze a lot of them to death. Now, I can't tell you the circumstance of that. But he got in. They brought him in, but he died shortly after that. He had seven children. And his brother lived in Woburn. And he took two of the girls here, took them to Woburn, and they lived there until they was married.
What was your grandfather's occupation? Oh, he's a whitener, right. Was the outside of your grandmother's house painted?
Partly. I think the front was painted, that's mm-hmm. all.
What kind of furniture was there in the living room? Can you remember?
Yes. It was old-fashioned furniture with a horsehair covering.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very nice.
Did you have a parlor?
Yes.
Besides the living room?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were you allowed to play in the parlor?
Yes.
What? Was the parlor furniture better than the living room furniture?
Oh, yes. Far better.
What was that like?
In the living room?
No, the parlor.
Well, I just told you, it was horsehair covered furniture. There was comfortable chairs, rocking chairs, an organ, a sofa, mm-hmm. and two or three stands. And it was very well furnished, very comfortable house.
Did you have rag carpet on the floor, wall to wall?
I can't remember.
Was the wallpaper bright or dull that your mother had?
About medium.
But you were a carpenter. Do you think it was a well-built house or?
Yes.
What was the construction? Is it frame or?
Frame.
Do you ever see many log houses when you were young?
Yes, a lot of them.
Were they the regular logs or were they hewn?
Regular logs. Hewed logs into timber to build a log house.
Were there many in Constable?
Yes, at that time, when I was a boy.
Were they what, one or two rooms or?
Well, about two rooms and a little sleeping cove upstairs. You couldn't call it a room, you know, it wouldn't be very high, see. But the children up there slept there. Now, of course, some of them had two very small bedrooms, and the rest was living and kitchen and everything else, a combination.
That was where mostly the very poor lived in those, or was it just?
Well, a poor lived in them, and there were some men that was what we considered at that time well-to-do farmers. Had a log house. Now, Stebbins at Trout River, he had a log house, and he was, at that time, one of the best known men around here, or wealthiest men. Nobody was had a barrel of money, you understand. But at that time, I know of a man that had $300, and they thought he was pretty well off.
Were there many plank houses, like, you know, the very thick planks?
I couldn't say, but there was one right up on the hill here. It was a plank house. And I imagine there was, but how many there was, I don't know. I never went into somebody's house and asked them to build a plank or what in hell.
Yeah, right. Were there many fireplaces in Constable when you were young?
Well, quite a few. Maybe the houses had 20% of them would be fireplaces.
20%?
Yeah, I'm just guessing it.
Yeah, right. What was your kitchen like at your grandmother's house? Was it large? Or?
Yeah, large kitchen.
Yeah. Well, what was the furnishings of the kitchen? Do you remember?
Well, there was dish cupboards. There was a sink. A big iron range. And
was the sink wet or dry?
It was, well, now, that was a wooden sink lined with tin, you see. And it was wet, we'd call it, because the water did run out.
Was it handmade or did the
handmade
sink? Yeah.
Practically everything was handmade in them days. I'm talking way back 75 years ago.
Right. Was the, there wasn't running water in the house?
No, no. There's a spring a short distance on the bank, and a dug well right in back of the house.
Did you have a barn out back?
Yes.
Do you have cows?
We had a cow and one horse.
Have pig?
We used to raise a pig, yes. Yeah.
Chickens?
Yes.
Any turkeys?
Yes.
Anything else? Any other animals you have around?
No.
No sheep?
No. See, it wasn't farming because there was just my grandmother, which is an old lady, and us three boys. I was the oldest. And I went out to work for $6 a month when I was 12 years old.
Do you remember any stories your grandmother told you about the area up here when she first moved here?
Well, she was born here.
Okay, when she was young. Any stories she'd tell you about how people lived or anything else?
No. There wasn't, there wasn't any excitement for a young person. There was three churches in town.
What were they?
Methodist, Presbyterian, and Catholic. Mm-hmm. And if a fellow wanted to see the girls, he had to go to church, or he was church inclined or not.
Was there any hard feelings between the three religions?
No, there was not.
Were there many church socials?
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. Both Protestant churches had socials at these homes, you know, quite often. That's about the only way they had to raise any money.
Mm-hmm. What religion were you?
I had none. I haven't any today. I don't believe in any damn religion. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother brought me up as a Methodist. She was quite strong as a Methodist.
Mm-hmm. You never had any, though?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Why? Is there any reason?
Well, it's all faulty doll to me. Mm-hmm. When they tell you if you're a good fella and don't commit any wrong, you'll go to heaven. And that's up in the skies. Well, that's just telling the man, but Jesus is a palace up in the moon, as far as I'm concerned. They're talking, telling you something that they don't know a damn thing about. So why the hell should I believe it? Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody has a different opinion.
Right. Did you get in much made big discussions with people over that? Or
No.
No?
No. But these church socials, they'd have them at somebody's home. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd donate the home to have it. And sometimes it'd be 3 or 4 miles from the church. Well, some farmer would, or maybe two of them, would donate a double wagon, a pair of horses, mm-hmm. and put straw in the box and take all the people that wanted to go. And there'd be a great crowd. They had a beautiful supper, whatever it might be, chicken or turkey. Then the young folks would generally get into the parlor near the organ and sing hymns and so on.
Mm-hmm. How are your bedrooms furnished back then?
Good. Mm-hmm. Just the same they are today.
Yeah. Did you ever see a rope bed?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Did you have them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of mattresses did you have back then?
We had, I'll have to say a hair mattress, I guess that is, I'm not familiar. But we had a lot of corn husk mattresses, if that'll do you any good. Mm-hmm. You've probably heard of that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Made of corn husk.
Mm-hmm. Were they comfortable?
Yes. Kind of noisy.
How often would you change your corn husk mattresses?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't keep out. I suppose they had to rough them up every day to get so they'd be comfortable to lay on. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of feather ticks in them days.
Yeah. You didn't have any of those, though?
Yes.
Oh, you
did? I got one right there on that bed.
You think you had a hair mattress? You're not sure, though.
Well,
What's it like? Can you describe it?
Well, it's just about like you got in the day. I suppose today they're a lot of made of
horsehair, you mean? A horsehair mattress?
No. Well, I don't know what kind, but I know it's made of hair, and some of them made of excelsior. I guess that's what they're made of today, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And, shoddy wool, I guess, today they're made of, too.
Were your bedrooms cold?
Quite cold. Mm-hmm. We had no electric heat. Mm-hmm. And no kerosene heat. But if your feet got cold, you could heat a brick or stone and take that to bed with you to cook your feet on.
You had a big kitchen stove, and did you have another stove in the parlor?
Oh, yes. Okay.
What kind of stove was there in the parlor?
Well, I think it was what they called a Franklin stove.
Ah.
Wood stove. Mm-hmm.
How much wood would... You must have cut the wood.
I cut the most of it.
Yeah. Now, how much wood would it take to get you through a winter? Do you have any cords?
Oh, I couldn't say how many cords. The winters are a lot different than they are now.
In what way?
Why, I can remember when we'd have snow, and it'd be from 3.5 to 4 feet deep. And where the rail fences was, would cover them right up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's no... The roads was just a sand track. And the only way they plowed it, two farmers would put two team of horses on a pair of bobsleds and hitch a kittle or make a plow, and five or six men would travel along with it with shovels. That's the way the roads was kept open. Mm. If you was driving, you see a man coming ahead. If you found a place to turn in, you wanted to turn it to let him go by, because you couldn't meet on the road. That is ordinarily.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, how often did they plow the roads? Very often, or?
Well, when the snow got so deep, they had to.
Right. What kind of lighting did you have when you were a boy?
Kerosene.
Ever have candles when you were young?
My grandmother had candles, but we never used them.
Why?
Well, we didn't need them. We had kerosene. You wouldn't use kerosene today when you get electricity.
Okay. Did your home have a fireplace?
No.
No. Was there an extra storage space in your house?
Yes, there's a storage space upstairs and one over the kitchen.
Right. What'd you call that? Do you have a name for it?
No, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't called a kitchen chamber?
Well, I suppose it could be. I don't remember if anybody ever called it anything.
Right.
You couldn't really call it a kitchen chamber. It was more of a catch-all. Something you wasn't going to use, you'd store it up there. But you, right. When you want it, go and get it.
Did your house have a porch?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Both front and back.
Did most houses have porches when you were young?
Not the log houses, but the other houses that was built, we'll say had them, most of them.
Were the lawns well kept when you were young, do you think?
Yes, and abundance of flowers. Most everybody had a nice flower garden.
Did your grandma have an herb garden? Or she grew herbs?
Yes, she used to raise some the hell's that stuff they put in?
What, sage?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she used to raise quite a lot of sage. Mm-hmm. And catnip.
Catnip.
Of course, she had a asparagus garden, raised asparagus, and rhubarb, and horseradish. And all those things was right there at home.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any sheds?
No, we had the barn.
Just the barn. Mm-hmm. Where was the outhouse?
At the end of the kitchen. And when you went there in the morning, you didn't stay any longer than you had to. It was a pretty damn cold place.
You must have had chamber pots also, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So how many years did you go to school?
Well, now I'll give you that. As I said, my father's a whitener. Mm-hmm. And he went around teaching other men to operate this machine. And he would go to one place where there's a big tannery. The company would send him. Mm-hmm. So, at the time I first went to school, in other words, it might be the way I didn't get started till I was 7 years old, because I was in one city, you see, before I got into... So we was in Wilmington when I started.
Wilmington.
Massachusetts. I was 7 years old, and I went to school, naturally, in the baby class, or the first grade that year. Mm-hmm. The next year, we moved to Marlborough, Mass. And of course, I was in the baby class again. Then, the next year, we went to Lowell, Mass. Juvenile. And of course, I'm in the baby class again, you see? Now, that's the way it is today. Then we come up here. And I made up my mind that I'd be damned if I'd be in the baby class. I was up here, and these other fellows here. But I knew enough to know I didn't know a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. But I was going to lie a little. So I went up here, and Mabel Hunt was the teacher. And she asked me what I was in, and I said the third grade. And she says, well, Fred, the schools in Massachusetts are probably different than they are in New York, and I'll start you in the third, and then we'll see how things progress. I can put you up into fourth. So I went 3 weeks to her, and I met old Mr. Wilson, Robert Wilson. He says, boy, do you want a job? And I said, yes. Well, he says, come over and I'll give you a job. I'll give you $6 a month and you're bored. So that was the end of my education. Mm-hmm. But I've got a pretty fair education because I've studied all my life.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a job did Mr. Wilson give you?
On the farm. Uh-huh. I went over that evening after school. And he says, I'm going to leave you something here that'll help you. So he handed me an alarm clock. And he says, it's all set. So when that goes off, you can go and get the cows. Well, there's about a mile from the house. So I'd get the cows in, so that in the barn, that Frank Rivette and Charlie Brad would come at 5 o'clock and they'd start milking. But of course, I was the one that took them back to the pasture after all the chores were done. It wasn't a bad job, but there was a long hours, about 15, 16 hours a day.
You lived with him?
Well, I boarded there. I didn't really live there. I boarded in a room there while I was working.
Mm-hmm. That was in Constable also?
Yes.
Did you like the family?
Yes, very much.
Mm-hmm. Were they good to you?
Yes, sir.
Did they have any children?
They had two grown-up sons. One was a lawyer. That was Herbert Wilson. And he lived in... that's where I'm fault. I can't think of names. Fulton, I think, was. Mm-hmm. And he became a county judge down there.
Did you like school the short time you were there?
Why, I liked it the first year, I guess. But after that, as I say, I was up here and I didn't like that worth a darn.
Did you ever get into any trouble in school?
No.
No. Were the teachers strict?
Yes, they were. In them times, you went to school, you had to do as the teacher said. Mm-hmm. Because she had a right to put the ruler right to you, and she did, or he would, whichever it happened to be.
Did your brothers go on to school?
My brothers went to school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did they end up doing for their, you know, what was their occupation after they got through school?
Ray was an electrician. Mm-hmm. And Earl went to work in a state school. State school.
Oh, school.
For wayward boys.
When you were 12 years old and were working, were you still had time for sports or anything?
No. No? No, they kept you busy on the farm.
You have a day off?
No. No, you didn't have a day off. Cows had to be milked Sunday as well as any other day. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was a rainy day, we could pile wood in the shed.
Did you ever have any time off? Did you ever give you any time off?
No. I never asked and he never offered it. But there was no place to go, so what did I want a day off for?
How many years did you stay with Wilson?
Oh, I only stayed there maybe a year and a half, something.
Then what did you do?
I went to working by the day for the farmers at 50 cents a day for 10 hours. And although I was just a boy, in that time it was a great, this was all hop country here.
Oh yeah.
And when it come to grubbing hops.
What's grubbing hops?
Well, you dig up, they come up like this, the stalks.
Mm-hmm.
You grub them all out, but you leave the two or four of the best stalks to go up on the pole. Mm-hmm. The rest you took out, and you could use them to set out another yard, hop yard with seed.
Uh-huh.
And, but as I say, when it come to grubbing hops or anything else, the men done that, but I was right with them. And of course I had to keep up with them,
mm-hmm.
which I tried to.
Did you?
Oh yes.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted that 50 cents a day.
What else would you do at the hop yard?
Well, I'd when it come to harvesting the hops, I'd pull poles.
Pull them, you mean?
At that time, they set two poles into each hill.
Yeah.
And you'd have to pull, cut the vines, and pull the holes, and lay them over each box. A box would hold 24 bushel. And there's a crotch stick like that to the end, and you'd pull the pole with the vines and the hops on, lay it across that thing like that over the box, and the women would sit there and pick the hops. And the children would pick in a bushel basket or a box or something like that, and then the parents would put them into the box. But they wouldn't let the children, because the hops would settle, and they wanted to pick them as fast as they could, and when they put them in, they was very damn careful not to sag them. Keep them up, fill the box and get your money.
Mm-hmm. Was there any care to the hops between the, you know, between
those?
Oh,
yes.
What'd you do?
When they started to go up the pole, they had to tie the vines to keep it going up. That was mostly done by women. They'd take what we have as a feed bag today and cut a square out of it, about that much, and hitch it around their waist, and pull the thread out.
Oh.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And tie it up. Keep it going, roll it up. And the hops had to be holed to keep the weeds away from the hill and so on. And when they was all picked, they'd put them into a hop kiln to dry them. That was up overhead with slats with canvas on. And these great big mammoth box stoves down below where they'd burn sulfur and brimstone. And that fuel would go up to kill the lice or whatever was in the hops. Hops was inclined to have, they were just hop lice, there was nothing dangerous about them. And, mm-hmm. and if they got on you, they'd just fall off anyway, but they're little green hop lice. Mm-hmm. And after they was all dried, they'd put them into a press and press them and bale them with canvas, ready to be sold.
Mm-hmm. There were many hop yards around here?
Everybody had a hop yard. Every farmer, no matter whether it was big or small, had, if it was a small little farm, he had an acre of hops for the family to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only cash you could get during, you know, money. Of course, a lot of them, if they had a few cows, they'd make butter
mm-hmm.
and put packet in a big crock, and a man from the city would come along to buy the butter. They got a little money out of that, and they got a little money out of their turkeys. But that was about the only thing.
What about bees?
Some had bees, but not too many.
Were there any just hop yards, that people just owned hop yards and didn't own farms, like, around here?
Well, George Cleveland owned this. He used to call it the Cleveland Ranch. It was, I guess, about 600 acres. And there might possibly have been 500 in hops. And that was the biggest one around here. Then there was, on the way to Malone, I can't think of the fellow's name. He had a hop yard too, quite a big one.
Mm-hmm. Did you like working with hops?
Yes.
Was it a hard job, do you think, or an easy job?
Yes, it was hard enough. When you pull them poles, the vines would be let down, and the hops and the vines on. You had to be very careful, and you couldn't drop them onto the box or shake the box. And you lift that pole, and it was working out.
After you worked at the hot garden, how long did you stay there?
I went up to the Adirondack Summer Resorts to work when I was about 16, I guess. So I can't remember them exact dates.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But I used to work up at the summer resorts. They'd start in the spring, and in the fall, I'd hit for Massachusetts or somewhere down there to get a job for the winter. The last time I was down there, I was in Cambridge, and I worked run a freight elevator for the Dover Stamping Company. But in the spring, I'd naturally come home and go to the Adirondacks.
Mm-hmm. Where in the Adirondacks did you work?
I worked at Loon Lake, Saranac Inn, and Paul Smith's, and Lake Placid.
Mm-hmm. Were they big places?
Oh, my, big places. At that time, there was a very, it was a big operation, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in, the wealthy people, on a Pullman train. I've seen 30 or 40 Pullman cars on one train. And they'd come in, drive in on the side rail or track. The engine would cut off and go to Malone to the roundhouse. And after it come daylight and the people got up, by then, the at Saranac Inn, they had what they called a tally-ho, like one of them Western outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go out and bring the people in, and the baggage people, or truck would go out, or wagon, go out and bring in the baggage. But they, when they came in the spring, and they stayed there till Labor Day. Go home.
How big was Paul Smith back then?
Well, I can't tell you how many rooms. It wasn't a hotel, but they owned a big sawmill. And they had a lot of boats on the lake.
Who was they?
Smith.
Well.
There was old Paul, and he had two sons. Young Paul and his other son was Phelps. And they became very wealthy. They was the first people that put electric line in. They put an electric railroad in from Lake Clair into the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And had an electric plant to light the hotel and so on. Then they run boats. You see, it was on Lower St. Bridges and Upper St. Bridges. Then you'd go into Spitfire, a chain of lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot of boats that people would ride on. There was pleasure boats. And under the floor, it was all batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And people would get in there and canopy top, you know, wicker furniture and so on. And travel around, and at night you run your boat into a spear in the boathouse and put your hit your light on to charge your batteries during the night.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they had a lot of horses and all that.
Mm-hmm. About what year would this be? Any
oh,
idea?
I can't tell you.
How about how old were you?
Oh, probably 17 when I worked for him.
Did you like working in the resorts?
Yes.
Was the pay good?
Well, it was the best there was in this country at that time.
But how much would that be?
Oh, probably $35 a month or something. Of course, you got a lot of tips.
Mm-hmm. What did you do exactly?
Well, the first year I was there, I run one of these boats. And the next spring I went up, and it was too early to start the hotel business. The hotel wasn't open. And Phelps said, yes, he'd give me a job. He said they was building a big building, what they called the men's building. And he says, there's an old carpenter up there. He says the other carpenters want work with him. He's a wonderful carpenter and blueprint man and everything else, but he can't get along with any of the other carpenters, and he says he had a dozen different fellows to help him, and he won't work with them. He doesn't get the hell away from them. So he says, I'll try you in there. So I went up. Phelps says, I brought a fellow up to help you. And this old fellow said, that's all right. So I just stood there, and I never offered to do a damn thing or make a move to do anything. But when he told me to do anything, I'd do it. And we got along fine. And after a little, he took an interest in me, and showed me how to handle a saw, to saw on the mark and do it right, and showed me how to draw different things with the square, and I was there probably a month with him, and Phelps come up one time. God, he says, you got this fella here yet? Yes. And he says, he's as good a carpenter as you got on the job. And he had a lot of what they considered good carpenters. Of course, this old fella had been training me, and I've just scared enough of him, but God, I remembered everything he told me. And he says, I tell you what I want. This fella ain't a helper anymore. I want you to give him carpenter's pay from now on. And I think that was about $3 a day. So, of course, I didn't have any tools. And Phelps says, well, if that's the idea, he says, go to the store and get what tools you need and pay for them. Well, I says, I haven't got any money to pay for them yet. Well, I get paid from you. Well, he says, just charge them to me. So that's where I got my tools to get started. Mm-hmm.
What tools would your carpenter need back then? Can you remember what you...
Well, you'd need a lot if you was a real carpenter.
Mm-hmm. What tools did you buy?
I bought a rip saw, a hand saw, a square, plane, hand axe, hammer, and a rule, I guess that's all. Mm-hmm.
What kind of tools did the old carpenter have?
He had every kind of a tool. He had two mammoth great big tool chests. And everything, and the best of tools, and the most modern at that time that any man could have.
Were many of them homemade, or were they handmade?
No, they was all bought.
Mm-hmm. Where is he from? The area? Or?
I can't tell you where he's from. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, there's a great big boathouse. And the lower part was just for your boats to run in and people to get into the boats. And upstairs there was a casino where they'd go up there at night and, you know, read and do whatever they want to do. And upstairs there was you could buy stock right there on the market, see. Mm-hmm. And millionaires was up there, they'd go up there and sit all day and buy stocks.
Remember any stories any instances you had or reminiscences about your hotel when you worked there? Anything funny happened to you or while you were driving the boats?
No, nothing happened. But the guests used to like to have Paul Smith. Now that's the older man. And that time he was a very small man, whizzled up. And he looked just like pictures you or I have seen of John D. Rockefeller, the old fella, see? The one that made the money. Mm-hmm. Not this fella that's spending it. But that's what he looked like. But the guests would like to have him come. So he'd get on the boat and ride. And he done the entertaining. And I remember one time he was telling, he says, over there, he says, there used to be a big island. And there's quite a nice number of good-sized cabins on it. And he says, that began to settle. And it kept going down and down. And it's down somewhere, but nobody's seen it. It's settled at the bottom of the lake. Well, you can imagine what that was. That's just a damn lie. But them guests, you know, were interested. And they'd ask more than 1,000 questions. It'd take an hour for him to answer the questions about that. And he'd look at me and wink after a while. Now, there was some of the little... Few more things. And now the two brothers, Paul was a big man, and he always was in the hotel. He was the hotel manager and so on. And every time he'd see anybody, he'd shake hands and all smiles and put the old soft bull right to him. Phelps was just the other way. He was the man and manager of the outside of the boats, the electric car line that run over to Lake Clear, mm-hmm. and manager of all things on the outside. And he was just the opposite. He was raring to go all the time. He used to have a flat straw hat, you know, flat crown.
Yeah.
And if you could see him carrying that hat and swinging, you know there's hell to pay somewhere. But I liked to work for him. I thought he was a very nice man. And he used me fine. And, of course, maybe this isn't interesting to you.
Oh, it is.
He come to me one time, and he says, "Say, we got a guest up the hotel," and she goes up over the boathouse, you know, this place, they had a bar there and everything. And she was some kind of a foreigner. And he says, "She sits there till about 12 or 1 o'clock at night, and then she's dead to the world." And he says, "Would you take a job, get somebody to help her, and carry her up to her room in the hotel?" And I said, "Yes." So we used to go down there and pick her up. She was just as limp as a rag. One would take her by the shoulders, the other would take her by the legs, and we'd carry her up there. And Phelps was one of these fellas, if you was doing something for him, he appreciated it. Now he says, "When you take her up there, you understand she don't know a damn thing. And by God, you're doing quite a work. You're losing a night's sleep." He says, "If she offers you any money, take it. And if she don't, if she got a purse with her, take," he says, $15 or $20. "Make it so you're losing your sleep, make it pay." And that's the kind of a man he was, see? Yeah. And we used to take her up every night. That was our job. But then there was another time. There was hardly any cars. Once in a while, there'd be a guest come in with a great big Cadillac and chauffeur. But it was all sand roads. And Barnum Pond, that's about 3.5 miles from Ballsmith. Mm-hmm. So they were down, and somebody went by, and they sent word up they were stuck in the sand. So he come to me, and he says, "You want to go down and get them?" I says, "Yes." So he called the barn, told them to have the best team of horses they had to pull ready, and I'd be up and get them. But he says, "You want to get a fellow to go with you." So we went down and pulled this old Cadillac, or whatever the hell it was, out of the sand and took it up. Now he says, "They'll ask you what it is." He says, "You charge them $25. He says, "Give the fellow that's with you $5 and put the other $20 in your pocket." So I figured I liked the job, because that was practically a month's wages, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the ordinary man that was around there working. And I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Were you saving money at that time, or what were you doing your money?
Well, I wasn't saving too much, because I had to help support my grandmother and my two brothers. They were going to school. Mm-hmm. But I made enough so that we all lived. And by going east in the winter, why, it kept the end thing going. And of course, my mother was sending what money she could earn.
Where was she working at that time?
She was working in Pickering's Hosiery in Lowell, Mass. Right.
Okay. About the electrical, was it a trolley line or?
Yeah. It was just one big trolley car. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Passengers and baggage. And that run from Cedar Lake clear as a junction,
right.
All that. The trains would come in, go out the siding, and then they'd transfer to this electric car and come into the hotel, which is about 7 miles.
So they still have a rail line put down.
Aye?
Still a railroad line, like a
track. Oh yes, they had a track. Electric car, same as they had in the city. Pole went up, you know, and hit along on the electric wire to get the power and so on.
Did there ever any problems with that car?
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. When you were home in Constable, when you were young, did your mother or grandmother serve 3 meals a day?
Oh, yeah, sure. You had to eat.
Mm-hmm. What would you have for breakfast when you were young?
Anything you get. Eggs, cereal,
mm-hmm.
cornmeal mush, oatmeal, toast.
When you're working on the farm, is that pretty much the same, or?
Well, I worked for one farmer, and they were very nice people. But they didn't dare to bend over. They're so damn tight that they'd break and crack. And the joke of it was, I had my breakfast, and a young fellow likes to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd eat to home, then walk up to their place about 1.5 miles and work all day. And we'd work in the hop yard, the old man and I. And about 10 o'clock, he'd say, look at his watch, and he'd say, "I wonder how long it takes us to make this row up." And he'd remember the time, tell me. And then he'd let into it just like a wild man, you know. And of course I had to follow him. He said he had to go to the house to carry in some water for his wife or something. But I knew damn well he was going in for lunch. Well, so eventually I had to figure out a way to fill my stomach. So when we'd get up near the barn, I'd say, I've got to go to the barn to urinate. He says, why didn't you do it down there near the woods? I says, I can't do it outside. I got to be in the building. But while I was in the building, I was robbing the hen's eggs and sucking eggs. And I got so I could suck about a dozen eggs a day. And what they cooked was the best. But he'd look at you and the plates was in front of him. And he'd say, would you want a potato? Yes. A big one or a small one? Now that's the way he'd ask you. So what are you going to do if you're bashful? You say a small one. And that's what you got.
Yeah.
The bread was on a little board. You used to cut it. Would you like a slice of bread? If you had the nerve, you'd say yes. And he'd saw down about half. Did you want a whole slice or half a slice? And if it was a half, zing, that's what you got. So I was living all right. It was a very strong diet. It was just eggs, but it was working all right.
But I did feed you for dinner, though, or for supper.
Yes, I'm telling you how they fed you.
That's supper, though.
You had the nerve, you was all right. And if you didn't have the nerve, why, you was all wrong.
Did you have the nerve?
You're damn right, after a little. There was a fellow here about my age. His name was Bill Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
You probably read about him when he went out west and he made that big run with his dog sleighs, or team,
mm-hmm.
for taking serum. You remember that, or read it?
No, I don't think so.
But anyway, he was about my age, and we was pulling poles. And he says, are you hungry? And I said, no. Of course, I'd been to the barn. I wasn't telling him. God, he says, I'm about starved. He says, I wish it was noon, get home. I says, hell, you don't want to go home. Christ, I says, come right in here. That's where I get my dinner. He says, I've heard they didn't feed you very good. I said, don't believe everything you hear. You'll be all wrong. So we went in. I sat across from him. And